Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio Link, a League of Nations among other Internet radio talk stations, Voices of the People, United We Roar. Today is May 12, 2008, and now the program you've wanted to listen to all week but were afraid to ask for, Kids, Tweens, and Teens, a Positive Psychologist Looks at All Three, with Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian, and thanks so much for giving me this opportunity of this wonderful show. So here I am, and I am so proud to have with me my resiliency. I'm going to call you Dr. Sandra Prince Embry, my in-house expert at this point, you know, sort of like we're a team, and you come aboard every so often and offer your expertise. Not just on resiliency, but with the eyes of a trained and seasoned therapist who is actively in the treatment room and is actually seeing kids and teenagers, and you can look at what they need and what they're getting, what they're not getting by society, their families, etc., with fresh eyes and, you know, a continual insight. So we want to bring that at the expert level every few weeks or so to kids, tweens, and teens. I've had on a lot of authors, and they do a marvelous job of capturing the inner lives of kids, tweens, and teens in their novels and stuff, but don't wear the hat of the expert psychologically. Let me just mention that Dr. Sandra Prince Embry is the director of the Resiliency Institute of Allenhurst, New Jersey, and the author of the Resiliency Scales for Children and Adolescents. And I'll just mention that I am the originator of The Enchanted Self. You can find out all about me, Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, at enchantedself.com. I don't mean all about me, but, you know, whatever you need to know for bettering your own lives. And we will talk in and out today around what kids, tweens, and teens need and reference on and off my new book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything. So welcome, Sandy.
Well, thank you, Barbara. It's a pleasure to be here. And each time we get together and talk, there's more and slightly new information. So it's amazing how this topic is unfolding. And today, I think we were talking, and I had originally reread your book, The Truth, which each time I read, I get something new out of it. And this most recent time, it really struck me how close to home the book is with respect to what a lot of the tweens and teens need in the therapy that I've been doing. And what strikes you the most is the issue of communication.
And so let's talk about that. Go ahead.
Yes. As I read The Truth, I see a young girl speaking honestly about her feelings. And I think the first reading, I just was amused, and I just enjoyed it, and I thought how cute this is and how clever she is and how entertaining that would be for girls and moms to read. However, as I read it this recent time, it occurred to me that the girl in your book, Barbara, models some very important qualities in tweens and teens that pertain to their resiliency and their good adjustment. One of those things is being able to identify your own feelings. It's amazing how many children and teenagers aren't able to label the feelings that they're having. They experience it as discomfort. Sometimes they get sort of a frozen expression, and it's unpleasant, but they don't know exactly what it is. And sometimes it appears as anxiety or panic. And with working in the therapy session, we're able to help these tweens and teens identify what the feelings are, put words to the feelings so they're better able to express these feelings to the parents and other important people around them. So that is the other thing that the girl in the truth does. She expresses herself very well. Now, who she's expressing it to, she's expressing it to her diary, but as the reader of the book, it feels like she's telling you, mm-hmm. like she's your best friend or a confidant. And I think that models what a girl would be like who is sharing feelings, and sometimes feelings that are not pleasant, but telling someone about them. And it's an experience that normalizes that process, that it's okay to do.
I was just going to say, mention for people not sophisticated in what therapy is about and what learning to identify our feelings is about, they may not realize how good a person normally feels when you've been able to label a feeling and or chat about it in a safe environment.
Right.
You know.
That's true. Very good point, Barbara. And I guess that's a very good point, that it's a feeling of connection, a feeling of relief, a feeling of awareness, and a feeling it grounds the person to be able to identify and express what they're feeling. Grounds the person and gives them a sense of self-assuredness, as opposed to when those feelings are there and they're not anchored, they're not identified, they're not expressed. That is a very uncomfortable and sometimes scary experience, especially
sure.
for children and teenagers. So the girl in the truth models a young girl who has developed some very good resources internally. She has the self-confidence to be able to feel okay enough about herself that she can speak about these feelings. She has the self-awareness to be able to put words to the feelings. And she considers her own feelings important enough to write down in her diary. And these are all very good things for tweens and teens.
And I think another interesting point, actually, in the narrative of the book that I hadn't thought about till right now that you brought it to light, I guess I unconsciously thought about it because I wrote it, and that is that the girl is not really happy with the ways that her mother necessarily handles her. It's not an abusive relationship, but there is some strain. The mother often walks away from her, is kind of dismissive, tells her to, you know, get busy, do your chores, that kind of thing, and certainly only has a minimal capacity to understand or at least to express and respond adequately to the young girl's first crush. And I intentionally put a first crush in because it is a major issue that most girls, and I assume many boys, go through, is the feelings that are aroused and not completely understood by the first crush.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yet, what has happened because she's able to talk about these feelings so much through the diary as if to a best friend, she actually has some resiliency, to get into your specialty, to still get close to her mom. So in other words, when her mom comes up to her bedroom and finds that she's listening to music and not cleaning her room, but instead of beating her, not beating her up, but, you know, being angry over the whole thing, comes into the room and they both dance and listen to music together, she's ready to bond with that mother. She's got enough lifeline still there. And I think that's a lot because she got rid of a lot of the negative feelings.
Absolutely. And I think that's the other very important part of the truth of the book, Barbara, and that is that it shows that kids, tweens, teens, do become aware of parental limitations. They begin to see how parents are uncomfortable or maybe not able to deal with everything. And the beauty of the truth is that it does show that this young girl is able to be aware of that and express it, but express it in a positive way. In other words, she's able to say, well, yes, I can see that parents aren't perfect. I wish they could do this. I wish they could do that. But I know that when I'm older, I'll do it differently. And that's such a resourceful attitude, that that ability to see and on some level accept the limitations of the parent. And I think that that's something to strive for, and as a matter of fact, that's something that in therapy is a very wonderful thing to work on, because the tweens, teens, adolescents who are not able to process this in a positive way can develop a lot of anger, a lot of disappointment, a lot of disillusionment, and stonewall, or just sort of dismiss their parents as not having a clue, and then go off and sort of cut off that communication channel, which is a very important one. And that, you know, that's a very big part of therapy with tweens and teens, and that is trying to restore some of the communication that has been cut off for these reasons. So yes, that's a very important part of development and a very important part of therapy, and something that's hinted on in the book The Truth, Barbara. And it again, it's an example of something so important being expressed in such beautifully simple ways.
Right. Well, I think sometimes when things are simple, they do penetrate. And that's why I quoted from The Little Prince in the beginning of the book, because although all these years later I couldn't really tell you many of the quotes from The Little Prince without looking at the book, I can tell you that it was a very profound book with a lot of truths about the human condition. And it stayed with me all these years. When I think about that book, I immediately get a feeling inside of insight and, you know, that something penetrated. So when things penetrate, the residual effects, even if we forget a lot of it, are still working inside of ourselves.
That's a very good point, Barbara. And some of the young people who read your book.
Yeah, tell us about that a little.
Basically, it's interesting. I asked some of my clients to if they wanted to read it. And often, what often happened, the book was sitting there in the office, and the girl would notice it and pick it up. Now, that isn't that's not that common a thing. I think it might be the fact that it's a little tiny book and it has such a cute cover.
Orange.
And the title, The Truth, I think it has a sort of natural appeal. So the girls picked it up, and usually they were able to read it very quickly. I would lend it to them to take home, and they'd bring it back the next session. And I always got a very positive response. I asked them, well, what did they think? And they said, every single one said, I really liked it. I could relate to it. And this was for girls who were varied in age between 12 and 16. And they couldn't necessarily tell me what they liked about it. So it's sort of an interesting, I think it's just that sense of validation that a girl is speaking her real feelings and speaking the truth and feeling okay about it, and basically just going about her business and enjoying life. And I think that reading about that and experiencing that was validating for these young girls. But
right,
I think they were unable to know why it felt good to read the book.
I think we have to understand and accept that kind of thing. Sometimes as adults, we don't think it's enough if youngsters can't explain something wholly. You know, why don't you like that teacher? Why don't you like that kid? Why don't you want to do this? Why haven't you done that? You know, that sometimes the feelings around something are diffuse and not into words yet. Now, even though this book is putting the girl's feelings into words, that doesn't mean that a gal without, you know, whose brain and intellect is still developing is going to actually know why she liked it, even though part of why she liked it is because the girl was able to express herself.
Right.
You know, and there's a developmental issue. They're all, we have to accept that different stages of life, we are at different points, but again, giving the example is just so critical. And if you think in today's society of things like the mean girls and the bullies, you can only imagine how many feelings, unexpressed feelings, and maybe without words, these feelings are inside of these kids, have just been like boiling like in a pot.
Well, I think that's true, and I have seen a lot of young girls with stomach pains in their stomach, anxiety, panic attacks, these sort of diffuse symptoms. I feel sick is the complaint, and what those things are reactions of discomfort to stressors in their environment. Which once in a therapy session, once you probe, it's possible to get at what the source was. But the initial reaction for a lot of these tweens and sometimes teens is just feeling sick or feeling uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to model examples of girls expressing their feelings and giving themselves permission to do that.
Right. That's a very, very good point.
Of course, it takes practice.
Yeah, I'm thinking about... go ahead.
Giving permission is the first thing, and then practice and reinforcement for expressing feelings is the second part of it. And that's why often in families, I do family therapy, and so what I'll often do is I'll work with the tween, teen, and one or both parents also, because the parents have to be prepared to listen and to encourage the process of labeling feelings and expressing them. And sometimes that takes a little bit of preparation on the part of the parents, too, because parents are very varied in their expectations of their children and their ability to receive communication about feelings. So that also is a part of the therapy work.
And I'm thinking that very often parents who are just kids grown up themselves, you know, I've had for years, and my husband too, we've specialized in a lot of marriage therapy, you get the same problems coming up disguised so many years later in marital issues. For example, a mother or a father, a husband or wife, will not know how to express their feelings. And also believe, they actually believe that it's not that necessary, because there are certain myths we carry around, like, if he really loved me, he would know. He would understand.
Exactly.
You know? You know, he wanted to marry me, claimed he loved me, you know, what's the big deal? So I said it, I didn't articulate something, but he knows so much about me, he should read in the rest, whatever. And
exactly.
This stuff is profoundly damaging to couples and will trickle off to the kids.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that, Barbara, and I think that when you have a family situation where there are feelings, unresolved feelings, sort of floating around in the air, especially when there's conflict or crises that have not really been talked about, sometimes the kids pick that up as sort of ominousness or a dark cloud or impending doom. And the parents' inability to communicate about it, to label it and communicate about it to some extent with themselves and with the children, creates some of that discomfort that's then extremely difficult for children to process.
Yeah.
They may have, even if they sense the feeling, they don't have the words to describe it because they don't know what the issues are. And that makes it even harder.
I think one of the things that I hope very much with the truth, I'm a girl, I'm smart, I know everything, is that it will awaken within the mother or the father or the aunt or the grandma, whoever reads it, the school teacher. Again, that self-recognition, wow, I better even work harder to be clear about my own feelings and thoughts, and I better not just assume that the people in my life are understanding me and mind reading me, et cetera, so that it really serves as a wake-up call.
Well, you know, Barbara, well, that's one of the things that I actually wanted to ask you about as a clinician. This is the book is the truth is such a delightful short book and easy to read, and I think it makes for a wonderful stimulus, and I think that children and people of all ages can read it and feel good. However, I don't know that that alone can change patterns of behavior. I think that that can lead to changes. And I'm just wondering if you've had any opportunity or if you're planning to do anything that could use this as a stimulus for further interventions.
I have been thinking about it, and my first step that I want to do, through one of my blogs, and I just started a blog called PositivePsychologyForWomen.com, I want to have perhaps a thread off of that blog where I can give mothers and other interested grown-ups suggestions on what they might think about or ask their child or just do in terms of their own growth, page by page.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, maybe get something going on a pilot basis and then see if it will lend itself to, I don't like the word workbook, but some sort of processing book that will shadow this.
Great.
So, I it's on my mind, and it's just getting it going, and I think doing it as a freebie, page by page, at least initially, just to draw the universe in, is probably the way to go in today's high-tech cyber world.
That's right. Well, yep. if there are parents or mothers listening to this show, is there a simple method that you could suggest to them to use in reading and using the truth to encourage communication between
daughter? We've got to finish, but I think the major thing that I would simply say is to start to listen and not be afraid when your child expresses feelings or hopes and dreams, even if you know they're totally unrealistic. You know, if you have a kid that says, I don't know what I'll do if I can't marry Fred when I grow up, and she's 14, and you hope Fred will hit head for Alaska, you know, by the time he's 17, you know. Rather than panicking, understand that the daughter is afraid, expressing such strong emotion, and she needs reassurance that, well, I don't know. I don't know what will happen, but I know I had this feeling when I was 16, and I thought my world, you know, would cave in if I never got this summer job or whatever, and isn't it interesting, by the time I was 17, I didn't even want that job. Whatever it is from your own life, it can be very familiar and easy. You don't have to go out and research these answers. And even if the kid walks away from you, it penetrated that you also had feelings and concerns and anxieties, and you grew up, and
right.
You're functioning.
Exactly, exactly.
So that's one piece of advice I would give.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So, Sandy Prince Embry.
Yes?
Yes, Dr. Sandy Prince Embry. I'm going to draw this to a close. Our time is up. Thank you for coming once again as my in-house expert.
Thank you.
Would you still take a minute, tell people how to find you, and if you want to mention your core work as far as the testing material, go ahead.
Okay. I'm Dr. Sandra Prince Embry. And I'm author of the Resiliency Scales for Children and Adolescents. And I can be reached by email at sandraprince-embury@earthlink.net. And be happy to communicate with anyone who's interested.
Great. And again, I'm Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, author of The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything. It's available on Amazon, and you do me a big favor when you buy it there, because I get into the counting system of Amazon, which helps put me toward a bestseller on the bestseller list, and we all know that that's where any author wants to go. So if you're going to buy it, that's a great place to buy it. And my site is enchantedself.com. And goodbye for now.
Thank you all very much for listening to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and her guest, Dr. Sandra Prince Embry. And if you want to hear both of them all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. On the left-hand side of the page, you'll see the word archives. Click on that. A list of names will appear. Barbara's among them. Or go look at her silver page, which is under silver hosts. If you want to download the MP3 stream of this program, go and look at the lower right-hand side of the page. You will see the word VIP. Click on that, sign up as a free member, and for $2.60, you can download the MP3 stream. If you would like a hard copy of today's program, please contact Lillian Caldwell at 734-332-5902. Or email her at lillian.caldwell@gmail.com. The price is $1 a minute. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And before you go away, Lord Bolingbroke had this to say, there is so much trouble in coming into the world, and so much more, as well as meanness in going out of it, that 'tis hardly worthwhile to be here at all. Thank you all very much for listening. Our next scheduled programs begin at 8 o'clock tonight with Marketing for Fun and Profit with Janet Elaine Smith, sponsored by Star Publish. And following that is The Screaming Woman with Tony Quest. And rounding up the evening is Tom Zort with the Tom Zort's Poetry 30 Minutes program. So thank you all very much for listening. And remember, keep listening.